The FAA wants to hear from you. CAP continues to survey Sandy's damage, and the NBAA wraps its 2012 convention. This is Aero News for Friday, November the 2nd, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA's 34th Annual General Aviation and Part 135 survey for 2011 data is underway and available online. The survey will only be open for pilots to complete, though, through November the 30th. FAA Acting Administrator Michael Huerta says, quote, "Reducing GA fatalities is a top priority of the FAA, and our goal is to reduce that fatal accident rate by 10% by 2018. By taking the time to participate in the FAA's GA survey, owners and operators share valuable data that help the entire general aviation community," end quote. The survey is the only source of information on the activities of the general aviation fleet, including the number of hours flown and the reasons people fly. Data collected from the survey help determine funding for infrastructure and service needs, assess the impact of regulatory changes, and measures aviation safety. The survey is also used to prepare safety statistics and calculate the rate of accidents among general aviation aircraft. Responses are private. The information will be used only for statistical purposes and will not be published or released in any form that would reveal an individual participant. Owners who did not fly their aircraft in 2011, have sold it, or are awaiting repairs should also respond to the survey. Civil Air Patrol wings in the organization's Northeast region made 16 flights yesterday and plan to make 20 more today to continue assessing damage from Hurricane Sandy, with air crews also looking for people possibly stranded in deep snow in West Virginia. The flights follow 25 damage assessment sorties carried out Tuesday and Wednesday. The first aerial missions took place Tuesday as soon as winds subsided sufficiently, as air crews photographed damage to the coastal areas of Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island, along with Massachusetts' Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket Island and Rhode Island's Block Island. CAP members also conducted flights over Maryland and Delaware in CAP's neighboring Middle East region, which includes West Virginia. While the NBAA has wrapped up its 65th annual meeting and convention, the NBAA 2012, which Association President and CEO Ed Boland termed, quote, "a very good show," end quote. The show closed with 25,150 people in attendance, a number comparable to the final attendee total of just over 26,000 in 2011 and to the final attendee total of just over 24,000 for the 2010 event. The number of exhibitors at the Orange County Convention Center was 1,073. Booth spaces totaled 4,361, an increase over last year's space rental. A total of 105 aircraft were shown on two separate static displays, and an additional four aircraft were shown inside the convention center. The show drew attendees from all 50 of the U.S. states and 87 countries abroad. Boland said, quote, "By every measure, the 2012 show was a solid success. It's also clear that when you look beyond the numbers, the convention delivered a lot of value to participants," end quote. The NTSB has issued recommendations to the FAA saying the agency should collect data about whether aircraft carry such safety equipment as ballistic parachutes and ejection seats. There is a concern that first responders to accidents may be put in danger by the explosive charges used to deploy such devices. The NTSB says the FAA should require aircraft owners during each triennial re-registration with the FAA's aircraft registry to identify the presence and type of safety devices, such as ejection seats, ballistic recovery systems, or inflatable restraints that contain explosive components on the aircraft. They say the owner should also make the information about the presence and type of safety devices that contain explosive components readily available to first responders and accident investigators by displaying it on the FAA's online aircraft registry, and require aircraft owners who have installed a safety device that contains an explosive component under a supplemental type certificate since the most recent triennial re-registration to submit a new FAA Form 8050-1A, providing updated information regarding the newly installed device. The board also recommended that the FAA issue and distribute a publicly available safety bulletin to all 14 Code of Federal Regulations Part 139 certificated airports and to representative organizations of off-airport first responders, to, one, inform first responders of the risk posed by the potential presence of these safety devices that contain explosive components, including ejection seats, and, two, offer instructions about how to quickly obtain information from the FAA's online aircraft registry regarding the presence of these safety devices. When Aero News continues, going green, some dreams and dreamliners are being delayed, and one last long goodbye.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
For 60 years, Aerosonic has been a leader in aviation products and equipment. From this heritage of quality and precision comes the next generation of standby instrumentation. The OASIS Multifunction Standby Display System is uniquely designed to be the most flexible and affordable system of its type on the market today. Check us out on the web at aerosonic.com.
Meet SAM, the first digital standby attitude module to provide attitude, altitude, airspeed, and slip information in an advanced 2-inch format. Pilots appreciate the intuitive interface. Installers love the flexible design. Visit flysam.com.
Aero News continues now for Friday, November the 2nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. Earlier this week, the Charles A. and Ann Morrow Lindbergh Foundation announced that its Aviation Green Alliance is running a 5-month awareness campaign to highlight advances in green aviation. The campaign, which will be carried in most major aviation publications, begins this month with an informational ad about API's Joe Clark and his company's blended winglet technology. The foundation's Aviation Green Alliance, whose vision is progress through balance, is using the ad campaign to bring awareness to the aviation community of significant technological and environmental advances that have been made in the last 35 years. The campaign features full-page informational ads, which will run from November of 2012 through March of 2013. The ads will feature the stories of the individuals behind significant green advances and highlight the contributions that they have made. United Continental Holdings, which took delivery of its first Dreamliner September 24th, was supposed to have had a second 787 ready to enter service on November the 4th, but that delivery has now been indefinitely delayed for unspecified reasons. Bloomberg Businessweek reports that United spokeswoman Kristen David said that the airline was told by Boeing that the second airplane, quote, is not ready for delivery as scheduled, end quote, and, quoting again, we believe subsequent aircraft could be delayed as well, end quote. Boeing spokesman Tim Bader told Bloomberg that the plane maker is working diligently to complete United Airlines' next 787 for delivery, but that finishing the airplanes is, quote, taking a few days longer than anticipated, end quote. United was scheduled to take delivery of 5 Dreamliners this year. The airline says it will use a 777 to fly the routes that were supposed to be flown by the second Dreamliner, and will offer refunds to those passengers who had booked flights specifically because they would be flying on the new airplane. An industry benefit for the Corporate Angel Network, or CAN, held at the 65th Annual NBAA Convention and Meeting, raised $371,000 to help support CAN's life-saving flights for cancer patients. The funds for CAN were raised through an annual benefit titled NBAA CAN Soiree, an evening with angels, which included live and silent auctions and a concert performance by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. A nonprofit organization, Corporate Angel Network, provides transportation to treatment centers for cancer patients in empty seats on business aircraft. CAN employs 6 staff and a team of 35 part-time volunteers who work with patients, physicians, corporate flight departments, and leading treatment centers to coordinate the charitable flights. More than 500 companies support CAN, and since its founding in 1981, the organization has arranged nearly 40,000 patient flights. At this year's benefit, CAN presented its Angel of the Year award to NBAA member the Dow Chemical Company for its extraordinary support of the organization's work, which included providing more than 6,000 flights for cancer patients. Finally, today brings the U.S. Space Shuttle program to a final end, as this is the last time a Space Shuttle orbiter will be on the move. In ceremonies that began at 0700 Eastern Daylight Time this morning, the Space Shuttle Atlantis, the Space Shuttle Atlantis began its final journey from the Kennedy Space Center Vehicle Assembly Building to its new home at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. It's one small journey of just 10 miles for a spacecraft that has flown 33 missions and logged more than 125 million miles in space. Atlantis was the last orbiter to venture into space and the last to touch down at Kennedy Space Center. As part of the ceremonies, thousands of NASA employees and former shuttle workers were hosted at a private ceremony with the shuttle to say goodbye. The day's activities will wrap up about 1800 Eastern Daylight Time with the arrival of the shuttle at the visitor complex. The ceremony will be capped with a 10-minute fireworks show. Atlantis will eventually be housed in a $100 million interactive exhibit complex, now under construction and set to open in July of next year. Farewell, Atlantis. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. Oh, and so you don't miss that flight Monday morning, remember, daylight savings time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour on Sunday evening. You're now cleared for departure.